Chapter 8, Spiritual Understanding. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and its profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. What is this understanding on the getting of which depends so much? Is it intellectual lore obtained from delving deep into books of other men's making? Is it knowledge obtained from studying rocks, geology, or stars, astronomy, or even the human body, physiology? Nay, verily, for when did such knowledge ever ensure life and health and peace, ways of pleasantness with riches and honor? Understanding is a spiritual birth, a revelation of God within the heart of man. Jesus touched the root of the matter when, after having asked the apostles a question that was answered variously, according to the intellectual perception of the men, he asked another question to which Peter gave a reply not based on external reasoning, but on intuition. He said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You may have an intellectual perception of truth. You may easily grasp with the mind the statement that God is the giver of all good gifts, life, health, love, just as people have for centuries grasped it. Or you may go farther and intellectually see that God is not only the giver, but the gift itself, that He is life, health, love in us. But unless truth is revealed unto thee by my Father who is in heaven, it is of no practical benefit to you or to anyone else. This revelation of truth to the consciousness of a person is spiritual understanding. You may say to yourself, or another may say silently to you over and over again, that you are well and wise and happy. On the mental plane, a certain cure is effected, and for a time you will feel well and wise and happy. This is simply a form of hypnotism or mind cure. But until, down in the depths of your being, you are conscious of your oneness with the Father, until you know within yourself that the spring of all wisdom and health and joy is within your own being, ready at any moment to leap forth at the call of your need, you will not have spiritual understanding. All the teachings of Jesus were for the purpose of leading men into this consciousness of their oneness with the Father. He had to begin at the external man, because people then, as now, were living mostly in external things, and teach him to love his enemy, to do good to others, and so forth. These were external steps for them to take, a sort of lopping off the ends of the branches. But they were steps that led on up to the place of desire and attainment, where finally the Master said, "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." He told them of the Comforter that should be in them, and which should teach them all things, revealing the depths of God to them, showing them things to come. In other words, he told them how they might find the kingdom of heaven within themselves, the kingdom of love, of power, of life. The coming of the Comforter to their hearts and lives, giving them power over every form of sin, sickness, sorrow, and over even death itself, is exactly what we mean by understanding or realization. The power that this consciousness of the indwelling Father gives is for us today as much as it was for those to whom the Nazarene spoke. Aye, more, for did he not say, "He who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do"? All the foregoing lessons have been stepping stones leading up to the point where man may realize the ever-abiding inner presence of the Most High, God. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? I cannot reveal God to you. You cannot reveal God to another. If I have learned, I may tell you, and you may tell another how to seek and find God, each within himself. But the new birth into the consciousness of our spiritual faculties and possibilities is indeed like the wind that blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The new birth takes place in the silence, in the invisible. Intellectual lore can be bought and sold. Understanding or realization cannot. A man, Simon by name, once attempted to buy the power that spiritual understanding gives from another who possessed it. But Peter said to him, "Your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." Nor will crying and beseeching bring spiritual understanding. Hundreds of people have tried this method and have not received that for which they earnestly but ignorantly sought. They have not received because they did not know how to take that which God freely offered. Others have sought with selfish motives the spiritual understanding or consciousness of the indwelling Father because of the power it would give them. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions or to serve selfish ends. Understanding or realization of the presence of God within us is, as Peter said, the gift of God. It comes to any and all who learn how to seek it aright. Emerson said, "This energy, consciousness of God in the soul, does not descend into individual life on any other condition than entire possession. It comes to the lowly and simple. It comes to whomsoever will put off what is foreign and proud. It comes as insight. It comes as serenity and grandeur. When we see those whom it inhabits, we are apprised of new degrees of greatness. From that inspiration, consciousness, the man comes back with a changed tone. He does not talk with men with an eye to their opinion. He tries them, but the soul that ascends to worship the great God is plain and true, has no rose color, no fine friends, no adventures, does not want admiration, dwells in the hour that now is. You will seek me and find me when you see me with all your heart. In that day, when more than riches and honor and power and selfish glory, you shall desire spiritual understanding, in that day will come to you the revelation of God in you, and you will be conscious of the indwelling Father who is life and strength and power and peace. One may so desire a partial revelation of God within himself, a revelation along one line, as for instance that of health, as to seek it with all his heart. And if he has learned how to take the desired gift by uncompromising affirmation that it is his already, he will get understanding or realization of God as his perfect health. So with any other desired gift of God. This is a step in the right direction. It is learning how to take God by faith for whatever one desires. But in the onward growth, the time will come to every man when he will hear the divine voice within him saying, "Come up higher." And he will pass beyond any merely selfish desires that are just for his own comfort's sake. He will desire good that he may have the more to give out, knowing that as good, or God, flows through him to others, it will make him every whit whole. In the beginning of Solomon's reign as king over Israel, the divine presence appeared to him in a dream at night, saying, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "Give thy servant therefore an understanding mind." It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days." Thus, in losing sight of all worldly goods and chattels, all merely selfish ends, and desiring above all things an understanding heart, or a spiritual consciousness of God within him as wisdom, life, power, Solomon received all the goods, or good things included, so that there was none among the kings like unto him in worldly possessions. But seek first his kingdom, consciousness, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. For whoever would save his life, the things of his life, will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, that is willing to forget the so-called good things of this life for the truth's sake, choosing before all things the finding of God in his own soul, will find it. When you first consciously desire spiritual understanding, you do not attain it at once. You have been living in the external of your being and have believed yourself cut off from God. Your first step, after coming to yourself like the prodigal son, is to say as he did, I will arise and go to my Father. To turn your thoughts away from the external seeming toward the central and real. To know intellectually that you are not cut off from God, and that he forever desires to manifest himself within you as your present deliverance from all suffering and sin. Just as Jesus taught, we begin our journey toward understanding by cutting off the branches of our selfishness. We try to love instead of to hate. Instead of avenging ourselves, we begin to forgive, even if it costs us great mental effort. We begin to deny envy, jealousy, anger, sickness, and all imperfection, and to affirm love, peace, and health. Begin with the words of truth that you have learned, and which perhaps you have as yet only comprehend it with the intellect. You must be willing to take the very first light you receive and use it faithfully, earnestly, to help both yourself and others. Sometimes you will be almost overcome by questions and doubts arising in your own mind when you are looking in vain for results. But you must with effort pass the place of doubt. And someday, in the fullness of God's time, while you are using the words of truth, they will suddenly be illumined and become to you the living word within you. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. You will no longer dwell in darkness, for the light will be within your own heart, and the Word will be made flesh to you. That is, you will be conscious of a new and diviner life in your body, and a new and diviner love for all people, a new and diviner power to accomplish. This is spiritual understanding. This is a flash of the Most High within your consciousness. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This will be the time when you will not talk with men with an eye to their opinion. This is when you will suddenly become plain and true, when you will cease to desire admiration, when all words of congratulation from others on your success will fill you with an inexpressible sense of humility, when all mere compliments will be to you as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Truly, from that inspiration, a man comes back with a changed tone. With spiritual understanding comes new light on the scriptures. The very spirit of truth, which has come to abide with you forever in your consciousness, takes the deep things of God and reveals them to you. You will no longer run to and fro, seeking teachers or healers, and rely solely on them for guidance. You will gladly let them help you reach the point where you will know that the living light, the living word within you will guide you into all truth. What we need to do is to seek the revelation of the living Christ within our own being, each for himself, knowing that only this divinity come forth can make us powerful and happy. Every person in his heart desires, though he may not quite yet know it, this new birth into a higher life, into spiritual consciousness. Everyone wants more power, more good, more joy. And though to the unawakened mind it may seem that it is more money as money or more goods that he wants, it is nevertheless more of good, God, that he craves, for all good is God. Many today are conscious that their inner hunger cannot be satisfied with worldly goods and are with all earnestness seeking spiritual understanding or consciousness of an immanent God. They have been seeking long with a great desire of unselfishness and a feeling that when they have truly found God, they will begin to do for others. Faithful service for others hastens the day dawning for us. The gifts of God are not given in reward for faithful service, as a fond mother gives cake to her child for being good. Nevertheless, they are a reward, inasmuch as service is one of the steps that lead up to the place where all the fullness of God awaits men. And while spiritual understanding is, in reality, a gift of God, it comes to us more or less quickly in proportion as we use the light that we already have. I believe that too much introspection, too much of what people usually call spiritual seeking, is detrimental rather than helpful to the end desired, spiritual growth. Spiritual seeking is a sort of spiritual selfishness, paradoxical as this may seem. From the beginning to the end, Jesus taught the giving of what one possesses to him who has none. Is not this the fast that I choose, said the Spirit of God through the prophet Isaiah, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, Here I am. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your desire with good things, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Stagnation is death. A pool cannot be kept clean and sweet and renewed unless there is an outlet as well as an inlet. It is our business to keep both the inlet and outlet open, and God's business to keep the stream flowing in and through us. Unless you use for the service of others what God has already given to you, you will find it a long, weary road to spiritual understanding. We cry out and strain every nerve to obtain full understanding, just as sometimes we have heard earnest people, but people wholly ignorant of divine laws beseech God for the full baptism of the Holy Spirit, as in the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. We grow by using for others the light and knowledge we have. We expand as we go on step by step in spiritual insight, until in the fullness of time, which means when we have grown spiritually up to the place where God sees that we are able to bear the many things, we receive the desire of our hearts, understanding. Seek your own Lord. Take the light as it is revealed to you and use it for others. And prove for yourself whether there be truth in this prophecy of Isaiah that then shall your light rise up in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And then shall your light break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up speedily.